Romans chapter 1, verse 1 through verse 6, the called. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. He was separated to the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made, it's very interesting, of the seed of David according to the flesh. He was made just like David, which means he was created just like you and I, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. And now there you are, because that's us right there, those that are in Christ, among ye that are the called. Well, called according to what? Romans chapter 8, his purpose, of course. Always remember his purpose for you. Your purpose, not my purpose. Now, religion has turned the gospel into sort of a one-size-fits-all, and they just put everybody in these little houses or these little bottles, and over here you have Methodists, and over here you have Baptists, and so on and so forth. But God is very specific. You're not me, and I'm not you. And contrary to popular belief, not everyone is called to go into all the world. And the Bible says that Christ, that the shepherd, that Jesus, calls his sheep by name. Now, he doesn't say generally, all you sheep get over here. That's just not the way God is. This entire book is about specific individual folks. Right here in Romans, it's about Paul. And it talks about Paul with these particular brethren here. In another part of the book, talks about John. And in another part of the book, it talks about Peter. And you go to the Old Testament, and it talks about David. And they all have their own idiosyncrasies. They all have their own individual personalities. And how often have I over the years reiterated to you that your gift, that your talent, and that your cross is not mine, nor mine yours? The called. Are you the called? Well, now most would simply state, most of the people I speak to, and you ask a question like this, they'll give you an answer of a general calling. Women will often state, "Well, I'm a keeper at home." Well, that's good. I'm glad, but that's not what I'm talking about here. You see, that's a general call. I'm speaking of unique and specific. In the Bible, they had prophets, and they had teachers. They had a prophetess. I'm reminded of, if you go to the book of Acts, you find there was a woman named Lydia. And the Bible says, if you remember, she was a seller of purple. And why would God put that in the Word of God? Why would he put it in the Bible, in the Holy Scripture? Lydia. A seller of purple. And most often when he speaks to these people, he tells you who they are. He tells you what they are. He tells you what they did. Paul, the tent maker. Peter, the fisherman. Even of men. I mentioned very recently to a brother I'd met and he's been in the walk a while, and I've not observed anyone called in a very long time. And that's very disconcerting to me, but God knows. But to what were you called? not generally, but specifically. You are the called. Are you not? You're the called. And hiding behind a general or religious call will not shelter you from the obligation of that call. As I said, interestingly enough, the Bible mentions all sorts of details about one's being. It'll mention color. It'll mention nationality. It'll mention their size, their physical characteristics. It'll mention their gifts and the like. And so these must be of great, it must be of great importance that Lydia was a seller of purple. It has to be, you see. Else, why mention it at all? And here it is in God's Word. So I wonder if he wrote today, how would he mention you? Do you ever think about that? I think about that all the time. If you're a child of God and you're in the, let's say, and God writes, he goes, and there is, and your name, and what's he going to say about you? Verse 7 in Romans there says that we're called to be what? He said, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, call to be saints. A saint. Do you see that? Call to be saints. And we read in our text, obedience to the faith among all nations. Different saints. And in verse 11, Paul says he's coming to see these people to impart. Look at verse 11. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established. Paul says he's coming to impart some spiritual gift. Boy, that'd clear out a Baptist church. Could you imagine? Paul's coming this Sunday. Really? What's he gonna? He's going to impart spiritual gifts. Anybody know why that doesn't happen here? Do you ever think about it? I told somebody yesterday or the day before, we've had this church, that what we call our this group, this meeting, now for 23, 24 years. And it doesn't happen here. Do you know why? I know why. Because we don't believe it. Probably haven't even cultivated gifts that we've already received. I'd wonder if I asked the answers I'd get if I inquired about your spirituality. That is, what you consider spiritual. Now, it's a very personal message I'm speaking to you about this morning. I'd say religious answers would abound. Like the rich young ruler. Oh, well, I don't drink. Okay. I don't smoke. Okay. I'm not a fornicator. Okay. I don't commit adultery. Okay. I don't cuss. I dress right. I go to church and on Sunday and I say my prayers and some of you, a few of you even tithe. You think that there are any just mere professors in the churches this morning that are exactly like that? Exactly like that. Just like the rich young ruler. Oh, I've done. How about the sign guy? Now, people hear this message and go, the sign guy? But some of you know exactly who I'm talking about. Did you ever witness the Holy Spirit about that man? I mean, he's as religious as you can get. Probably the most religious person I know in this area. Did you ever once experience the Holy Ghost about that man? Or how about that preacher, Josh and Amy, up the country, their pastor? I've talked to him several times. Not once. Never had a witness of the Holy Ghost. Not one time. Oh, religious. Oh my. Or how about John MacArthur or Paul Washer? Now I'm serious here. I'm as serious as I can be. I meet preachers of death. I have no witness of the Holy Ghost. And yet I'm speaking of one of the most important aspects, maybe the most important aspect of our walk. Know ye not your own selves? How that Jesus Christ is in you. We're told in 1 John chapter 4 to try the spirits and to believe not every spirit. We're told to do that. You can't simply go by works. You can't simply go by appearance. Haven't we done many wonderful works? Oh, yes. It's the Spirit I seek. Angels of light, Satan has. Ministers of righteousness. But these have, they have spirit, but they have not the Spirit of God. These be not the children of God. These be not the saints, the called. It's that spirit. You know, it seems to me that you and I, we used to have more spiritual conversations. It's almost like when we reminisce now, we've entered an era in this world where we reminisce. Well, I remember when we could do this, and I remember when it was like this, and I do, and I remember the spiritual conversations that we had. I spoke many years ago, I'll never forget this, at the tabernacle, about how you're all ghosts until Sunday. And for a while, I guess some people got a little religion Then I started getting texts and phone calls during the week. But it was only religious because it's gone. It didn't last. It was a very short duration. You see, time is always the great revealer. Everyone's here on Sunday. But what I speak is either in you or it's not. Is that a church? Well, it is if you want to join First Baptist or First Methodist or second or third or fourth. I could use all those religious exercises they use. I could get you involved in all sorts of things. But that's not the Spirit of God. But we'd be in touch, and that's what they do. But not by the Spirit. Now, I can say emphatically, I know every one of you. And if I didn't, I'd a sorry shepherd I'd be. I'd ask, when's the last time you and I had a spiritual conversation? Come on. When's the last time you and I had a spiritual conversation? And you'd wonder why no gifts, no talent, no cross. When's the last time you've had a spiritual conversation with anyone? What happens to your muscles or your mind when you don't exercise it? Are you filled with the Spirit? Are you called to be a monk? In a monastery, you're just going to chant to yourself, to a vow of silence? I'll tell you right now that gardening and golf are not spiritual subjects. You see, the Spirit, now listen, the Spirit is God. You stop and think about that. The Spirit is God. God in you, called to be saints. You go on and read in the book of Romans, it says the unrighteous, they hold the truth. Did you know that? Isn't that interesting? The unrighteous hold the truth, but they hold it in unrighteousness. They know the truth. They hate it. God's been revealed to every man. You don't need to reveal God to any man. He's been revealed to every man. Verse 19 of Romans 1 states that God is manifest in man. He's known of all men. You can't look outside. You can't look at the sky. You can't look at the water and not know there's a God. And yet we, being saints and called according to His purpose, know not even our place. My dear brethren, we are the called. The called. To what? Exist religiously? Is that the only difference? We're just religious? No spiritual gifts? No talents? Did you ever read them? I'm not going to take the time to read them. We've spoken about them so many times, of the body in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Is that the only difference? We're religious? He said, we are the called. Where is the supernatural aura that entitles you to be called saints? What is it that makes you the called?